The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
The Torah tells us in Parashas Bo, Yud Gimel Posuk Hei, V'hoyo ki yiviyacho Hashem el eretz haknani v'achiti v'amayri v'achi v'yivayvusi asher inish bala v'sechel oses loch, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will, when the Almighty will bring you to the land which He has promised to you, the land of the Knanim and of those nations that are living there, to the land which is flowing with milk and honey, v'obaratu as aveda azeis b'chedish hazeh, and then you shall fulfill all of this mitzvah and service to Hashem on this month, on the month of Nisan. Shiva shamim teichal matzos, for 7 days you shall eat matzos, v'yeh mashvi chag l'Hashem. And on the seventh day, it shall be a yantiv to Hashem. Matzos ye'ochel e'shivas hayomim. You shall eat matzos for 7 days, v'lo yiro lecho chometz, v'lo yiro lecho sor b'chol gvulecho. It shall not be seen any chometz, any leavening, or any sourdough in all of your boundaries. V'igaretu levincha b'yeh mahu le'mor. And you shall tell your son, you shall teach your son on that day saying, Bavur ze oso Hashem li b'tzeisi mimitzroim. Because of this, these mitzvahs of matzah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done all of this for me when I went out of Egypt. So here the Torah tells us a mitzvah of telling, of teaching your son. If we go a little further in the Torah, in the same parasha, same perek Yud Gimel, now if we go to perek Yud Beis, Posuk Chof Hei, which is actually the previous chapter. So there the Torah tells us, V'hoyo ki savoyo ala oretz asher yitein Hashem lochem kasher diber, that when the Almighty will bring you to the land which He has said He would give you, u'shmaltem es o'aveidu azeis, and you shall guard this entire service, V'hoyo ki yemru aleichem b'neichem, when your sons will ask you, Mo ha'aveda hazeis lochem, what is all of this service to you that you're doing? V'amartem, and you shall say, Zevach Pesach hu l'Hashem. This is the sacrifice of the Pesach to Hashem. And this represents, Asher posach al botei v'nei Yisrael b'mitzrayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu skipped over, or He had mercy on all of the houses of Israel in Egypt, Benokveas Mitzrayim, when He plagued and destroyed the houses of Egypt, Ves Botenu Hitzil, and our houses He saved. So here again, the Torah tells us that when your son will ask you, what is this all about? What is this service, this sacrifice that you're doing? You shall answer him. We have a third place, a little further at the end of Parashas Bo, in Shmei Yud Gimel, Posuk Yud Aleph, V'hoyo ki yiveacho Hashem el eretz haknani, kasher nishba lachor v'laviseichu neson oloch, when I shall take you to the land which I have promised you and which I have sworn to your fathers to give to you, v'havarto kol peterechem l'Hashem. The firstborn you shall give to Hashem. Chol peter sheger behema asher yilocho azchorim l'Hashem. Every male of the firstborn of the animal should be given to Hashem, of a pure animal. Chol peter chamor, and the firstborn of a donkey, tifte b'seh, you shall redeem with a sheep. V'imloy sifte, and if you will not redeem it, va'araftoi, then you shall break its neck. V'chol b'chor odom b'vanecho tifte, and the firstborn of every person of your sons you shall redeem. And when your son will ask you tomorrow, saying, Mazos, what is this? With a strong hand, the Almighty took us out of Egypt from the house of slavery. And when Pharaoh wouldn't let us go, so he killed all of their firstborn, from the firstborn of the people to the firstborn of the animal. Therefore, I am sacrificing the firstborn of my animals, and the firstborn of my sons I am redeeming. So here we have yet another place where the Torah tells us that if your son will ask. Three places in Parshas Bo is it mentioned questions from your sons and or what you should tell them. Actually, the second point I mentioned should have been the first. That comes before. And we have a fourth place in Parshas Eschanan, in Devarim, and this is Devarim Vav, Posuk Chof, Ki Sholcha Bincha Mocha Leimor. When your son tomorrow will ask you, Mocha Edus Vachukim Vamishpotim, what are all of these testimonies, these statutes, these laws, which Hashem has commanded you? V'amarta, which Hashem, our God, has commanded you. V'amarta Levincha, and you shall tell your son. Avodim hayinu lefare b'mitzroyim. We were slaves to Paroi in Egypt. V'yetzienu Hashem b'mitzrayim b'yad chazoko, and Hashem took us out with a strong hand. And he performed all types of miracles. And he did all types of plagues to Egypt and to Paroi and to all of his household, which we saw. And he took us out in order to give us this land which he has sworn to our fathers. And he has commanded us all of these laws to fear him in order that he might do good for us and that we might live here all of our days. Utztoka tielonu, and it shall be tztoka, it shall be good and just for us, and it shall be charitable to us when we guard all of these mitzvahs which Hashem has commanded us. Four places in regards to the mitzvah of the exodus, of going out of Egypt. The Torah tells us that your son will ask what you should tell him. Why do we need four places? One would have sufficed. Rashi brings from the Chazal, Rashi in Parshas Bo, the Rashi is in Posuk Hei, Esavoy da Hazos, Loma Chozar Vishona, Bishul Dovish in Iskadish Bo. The Parsha Rishayna, the first Parsha in the Torah, Mohavoy da Hazos Lochem, what does this service mean to you? Beben Rosha Kosim Medabim. This is referring to the evil son. Shehetzi Asatzma Mina Klal. Because he excluded himself from the miracles that took place. Bigadat Levincha, and the second chapter which deals that you shall tell your sons, Beben She'en Yedei Lishul. This refers to the son that does not know how to ask. Melamdecho, the Torah teaches us, She'tiftach Le'ato B'divrei Hagodo, that you should awaken him, you should arouse him with Divrei Agodo, with the words of the Torah, Hameshkin es Halev, which will draw his heart nearer. Then Rashi at the end of Parshas Bo, in Pasuk Yudalet, says Mazos, when the son asked, what is this, by the breaking of the neck of the donkey, Zetinak Tipesh. This is speaking about the foolish son. She'eni yedei lahamik she'ilosoi. He doesn't know how to ask with depth. The seisim v'shoel, and he merely asks, Mazois, what is this? Ubemokam Acher, and in another place, the Torah states that your son will ask, Moha Edus Vachukim Vamishpotim, what are the testimonies, and what are the statutes, and what are the laws? Harei Zeis She'elas Ben Chochem. This is the question of the wise son. Dibra Torah Keneged Arba Bonim. We see that the Torah that said that in four places there should be a discussion between you and your children, it is referring to four different types of sons. Tam, the simple son, Rosho, the evil son, She'ena Yodea Lishol, the son that does not know how to ask, V'Hasheil Derech Chochma, and the son which asks with wisdom. And this is what we are all familiar with in the Haggadah. The Haggadah that we say on the Lil Pesach, on the night of Pesach, Baruch HaMokom Baruch Hu, the blessed is the Almighty, Baruch Shenasan Torah Lama Yisrael, who has given Torah to Yisrael, blessed He Keneged Arba Bonim Dibra Torah. That the Torah is here referring to four sons. Echot Chochom, the wise son. Now the author of the Haggadah does not follow the same order of the Torah, because in the order of the Torah first came the evil son, then came the son of Vihigareto Levincho, that you shall tell him the one that doesn't know how to ask, and then came the simple son, the one that asked Mazos, merely what is this, and then came the wise son. The order of the Haggadah is Echot Chochom, the wise son, Ve'echod Rosho, the evil son, Ve'echod Tam, the simple son, Ve'echod She'eni Yedei Lisho, and the one that does not know how to ask. The fact that the Torah took the effort to repeat this dialogue four times, when it should have sufficed with one time. And we know that many, many mitzvahs in the Torah are given merely with one word or one letter. So this must mean that there are very important reasons and very important principles that we can learn in regards to these questions and these sons. And the fact that we see that these questions all circle around Pesach, around the going out of Egypt. We don't have these questions on Shavuos, nor do we have these questions on Sukkot, or on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, or on Purim, or on Hanukkah. But we find them dafki in the Torah in regards to Pesach. And they were incorporated as part of the Haggadah, part of the Seder. So evidently this has something to do intrinsically with Pesach. Let us see what we can learn from all of this evening. The Maral Prague has an elaborate explanation on this in his Haggadah, and also in the Sefer Gevuras Hashem, in which he tells us that the Torah is referring to all facets of wisdom. When it refers to the four sons, it refers to the different dimensions of Chochmah, of wisdom. Does not say Echod Tzadik ve'Echod Rosho. This is the righteous son and this is the wicked son. But rather it says Echod Chochom, this is the wise son and this is the wicked son. It's not referring to the righteous and the non-righteous, but rather it's referring to four levels, four different personalities when it comes to Chochmah, when it comes to wisdom. And these four levels are found by four different types of sons. And when we refer to sons, it's found by young people, and it's found by adults also. that people can be divided up into four categories if you want to classify their wisdom. We will follow the order of the Haggadah that first starts with the son Chochom Mohu Eimer, the wise son. The wise son is learned from the Parsha, as we mentioned in Veschanan. This is not referring to any particular mitzvah of the Torah. It states merely ki yisholcho bincho mocha lemor, that tomorrow there'll be a day when your son will ask you. Now he doesn't ask on matzah, he doesn't ask on moror, he doesn't ask on the korban pesach, on the sacrifice. He asks moha edus, what are the testimonies, v'achukim, the statutes, v'hamishpotim, and the laws which the Almighty has commanded you. Then the Torah says that you answer him in regards to the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus. We were slaves to Paray, and Paray took us out. And then you continue. He brought us to the land, and he commanded us all of the statutes, in all of the statutes, to fear him. And he commanded us to do all of the mitzvahs in order that it shall be good for him. Now how do we know this is speaking about a wise son? Torah doesn't tell us. So the answer is, he asked three things. What are the edus? What are the testimonies? What are the chukim, the statutes? What are the mishpotim? What are the laws? The Gemara tells us that these are not merely words. Each one refers to a different classification of mitzvahs in the Torah. There are certain mitzvahs in the Torah that testify to something which has taken place. For example, matzah testifies that our fathers ate matzah when they went out of Egypt. The Korban Pesach, the sacrifice, testifies to the fact that the Almighty skipped over our homes when he destroyed the homes of the Egyptians. So he has classified, he has grouped the testimonies. Chukim are laws which we do not understand the reason. For example, when it comes to the sacrifice of the Pesach, it must be a sheep or a goat. It must be in its first year. We don't know why the Torah, at least it's not apparent, why the Torah chose these laws. Mishpotim are laws of the Torah which refer to mitzvahs which we can understand the reason. For example, a person shall not steal. It's apparent to us what the reason is. A person should be charitable. Or in regards to Pesach, anyone who is not a Jew should not eat from the sacrifice of the Pesach, because this is the national korban, this is the national sacrifice. So from the fact that when he asked this question, he already grouped everything in the proper order, we see that he was Sheol Derech HaChochma. He asked with wisdom. And this is what the Gemara says, She'elis Chochom Chatzi Tshuva. When a Chochom asks something, that's already half the answer. Because he has analyzed and he has organized exactly what is difficult when he asked. And this is already half the answer. So from the way he asked his question, we can tell who is speaking. The Torah tells us, how should we deal with this son? Here we have a young son, or maybe an adult. He's wise. He might not have too much background in Torah, but at least he has sufficient background to know what mitzvah is considered a testimony, what mitzvah is considered a chok, a statute, what mitzvah is considered a principle that we can understand. So evidently he does have good background. And he wants to know, Moha Edus, what are these? Now, if he already knows so much, why is he asking? So evidently, he has a thirst for Torah. He's not satisfied with merely the superficial meanings. He wants to know more. And this also is the quality of chokhmah, the quality of wisdom. There's a Mishnah in Masechta Oves which states, Ezehu chokhm, who is the wise? Haleimed mikol odom, someone who learns from every man. So there the Maral in his Pirus asks, that's not the description of a wise person. The description of a wise person is someone who has amassed a great amount of knowledge. Someone who knows a lot. So it should say, Eze al-Chochem, who is the wise? Halomad harbei, someone who has learned much. Instead it tells us someone who learns from each man. The answer is, when we want to give a person a name, a chochem, a wise person, v'hashem meir ala etzem, and the name refers to the essence, we want to say that he has the quality of wisdom. The quality of wisdom, and in particular when it comes to wisdom of the Torah, which is the mother of all wisdoms, this, the sages teach us, is b'li gvul, with no limitation. Unlimited. Because wisdom in Torah, which is wisdom in the Almighty, just like the Almighty himself is without any limits, so is this wisdom. And the particular quality of this trait is without limitations and never to be satisfied. Hasheise bitsome, the wise drink with thirst the words of the sages, the words of Torah, and they are never satisfied because there is always more, there is always greater depth and greater dimension. So if you want to find out if a person is really wise or not, or if you want to find out on yourself if you are really wise or not, this is the test. The test is not how much you know, but rather the test is how much do you want to know, and how much are you constantly learning. And therefore the Mishnah tells us, Ezehu chocham, who is the wise? Not Mishalomad Harbe, someone who learned a lot, but Haleimed Mikol Odom, someone who is constantly learning. Not only is he constantly learning, but he learns from every person. Not only someone who learns from the great, from the Gedalim, but who learns also from the Ktanim, from the small people also, from every situation, and every confrontation, and every person, he enables himself to learn more. And the sages tell us that the quality of wisdom is classified as the midah, the quality of azos. Azos, havi az kinomer. This means courageous, brazen. This is the quality of a leopard. And the opposite of this quality is busha. Busha, this means to be shy. Now to be shy, to be withdrawn, this is a very admirable trait. We don't like chutzpah. But still the sages tell us, when it comes to wisdom, it's just the contrary. Lei habayshen lomed. Those who are very shy and very withdrawn will not become great scholars, will not learn a lot.
And the Maral writes, it's not because they'll be afraid to ask, so they won't know. Because this is something that we don't need the great Tanoim, the great rabbis of the Mishnah, to tell us. It's understood that someone will not ask, he will not know. But the quality of Chochmah, of wisdom, is compared to that of a fire. And a fire is very brazen, sages tell us. Because a fire stops at nothing. And the mind that will seek true wisdom must stop at nothing. Must not be intimidated. Must not be shy. Must not be carried away by emotion. Must not be deviated from a straight path, but must be like a fire that will burn through any obstacle in order to seek the truth. And therefore, the wise, he must have this quality of azus, of a brazenness. And this quality was given to Yisrael. The Gemara says, Yisrael azim sheba umais. The most brazen of all of the nations in the world is Yisrael. It's a good quality, sometimes it's a bad quality. Moshe Rabbeinu used to complain. He used to say, I can't lead these people, I can't deal with them. I'm creative, they are brazen people. They won't listen. But this is why they were able to receive the Torah. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ke esh dos lomai, my Torah is a fire. True wisdom is a fire. Intimidation is the opposite of true wisdom. When a judge sits in a court of Torah, the Torah says, Le sagurim ibnei ish, he shall not fear any man. He shall not give honor to the rich, and at the same time he shall not be compassionate to the poor. Because ki hasheichad aver einei pichim, because this will all distort true justice. If he says this man is poor, I feel sorry for him, I'll rule in his favor. This is a distortion to the truth of the Torah. If he says this man is wealthy, it is not right. It'll be an embarrassment to him if he loses the case. This blinds the eyes of the wise. Wisdom must be like the leopard. And that is what our Tanoim, the rabbis of the Mishnah, mean when they say Lei Habayshin Lomeid, that the shy, those who are withdrawn, cannot become great wise people, cannot become great scholars, not because merely they will not ask, but in wisdom you must be aggressive and you must be brazen. And the quality of wisdom is without limitations. Therefore, if we want to classify who is the wise, it's not someone who once learned a lot. It's not someone who has amassed great fortunes of knowledge, but it is someone who constantly learns. All the time he is learning. Bahalemin mikol odomin, every man from every man he has what to learn from. They once asked, they say over that someone once mentioned to the Vilna Gaon that this person is a very great Talmud Chochem, a very great scholar, because he once learned a lot. So the Vilna Gaon answered, where is a ganav? Einer was ganvet, or einer was ken ganvet? Who is a ganav? Someone that knows how to steal, or someone that steals? The same thing. Who is the wise? Who is a great scholar? Someone that knows how to learn, or someone that learns? And this is what the sages tell us, what Shlema HaMelech wrote. Yishma Chochom v'yesif lekach. The Chochom only has to learn, only has to hear a little. If he hears a little, from there he can create a great deal. Dai lechakima b'remizo, it's sufficient to give to the wise just a little hint. And from there they will create. So if a person wants to know, is he in the category of the wise? It's not dependent on how much he knows and how much he learned. It's dependent, is he a person who is always learning and is always seeking? And this is why, probably, that the Gemara always refers to a great scholar as a Talmud Chochem. A Talmud Chochem, a wise student. Because the wise must constantly be students. And therefore, this young person, even though he has a good idea of what the Torah is and what all the mitzvahs are, is not satisfied. He wants to know more ha'edus v'achukim v'mishpotim. What do all of these mean? How should we deal with such a son? So the Torah tells us, first you must tell him that we are commanded on these mitzvahs of Pesach because the Almighty has taken us out of Egypt with a strong hand. And he performed miracles in Egypt and he destroyed Paro, and we saw it all. And then you must continue. Vayitzaveinu Hashem la'aseis es kol ha'chukim ha'elu. Kodesh Baruch Hu commanded us to do all of these mitzvahs, to fear him all of the days that we live in this land. And when we fulfill all of the mitzvahs, it will be good for us. It will be wonderful for us. So you do not limit him to a particular mitzvah. But just like he has a thirst for the entire Torah, we must give him the opportunity to study the entire Torah. This is how you treat a ben chochem, a wise son. And in the Haggadah, the author added a little. V'afato emolei. Since he wants to study everything, so you must teach him everything. Ki hilches ha-pesach, you must teach him all of the laws of the Korban Pesach. Ein maftirin achar ha-pesach afikomen, which is the last Mishnah. That's the very last part of the entire Masechet Pesachim. You must teach him all of the laws of the Torah. He has a thirst for Torah. You must let him find and go after all of this Torah. This is the Ben Chochem. Next, the Baal Haggadah speaks of the Rosho. Rosho Mahu Aimer. Now the Rosho is extracted from the Parsha the first Parsha that is mentioned in the Torah, which is Posuk Chofei. How do we know it's referring to a Rosho, to an evil son? Torah merely states like this, that when you will come to your land, which I will give you, ushmatim es avoda azos, and you will do all of this avoda. Now avoda refers to the sacrifice. V'hoyo ki yomra aleichem b'neichem, when your son will say, mo haver azes lochem, what is this sacrifice? What is all of this sacrifice to you? Then you should tell him. You should tell him, Zevach Pesach Hu Lashem, this is the sacrifice to Hashem, and why he chose this sacrifice. Now we see two things. This question is written in regards to avoda, in regards to sacrifice. Secondly, when he posed the question, He said, Mo ha'avodah hazos lochem. What is this sacrifice to you? The Torah and the sages do not refer to this son as a tipish, as a fool. Rather, they refer to him as a rosho, as an evil son. This means he's not a fool. He's also a wise person. Except the first son was a person who was wise, and he used his wisdom to know Hashem and his Torah. This son is using his wisdom against the Torah and against Hashem. Because when he said, Mo ha'avodah hazos lochem, what is all of this avodah to you? So on that the Haggadah explains, lochem v'leiloi, he said, to you, not to me. He is standing as an outsider. He comes and he sees the people are bringing the sacrifice of the Pesach. He doesn't say, what is this to us? But he doesn't say, Mo ha'chukim v'mishpotim, Mo eidus v'chukim v'mishpotim, asher tziva Hashem alakenu, that our God has commanded us. But he says, what is this to you? Well, the fish ha'etzia es atzmi min ha'klal, and since he took himself out of the group, out of the nation, he stands outside. Kofar be'ikr. He was kefir be'ikr. He is denying the basic principle, the basic source of our Torah. Now, what does this mean? It's interesting. This question circles around avoda, the sacrifice. Sacrifices were called avoda. Avoda, we would translate as service, but it has a deeper translation. It means Eved, to serve as a servant to the Almighty. The Almighty is a king, and we are his servants. And the greatest illustration of this, the sages tell us, was the Beis Hamikdash, the temple, and the sacrifices. And this is why it was always referred to as avoda. Al gimel amudi, ha'olam aymer, al gimel devorim. The world stands on three pillars. Al ha-Torah v'al avoda v'al gimilas chasodim. Torah and avoda. Service to the Almighty and loving kindness. That service basically refers to that what was done in the Beis Hamikdash. And this is why we find that everything that was done in the Beis Hamikdash had to be as a servant serving his rabbi, serving his master. For example, the Gemara says, the Kohen, can he sit or should he stand? V'sheresh k'siv. It states, v'shoresh he should serve. He must serve ki abde kamei rabbi, just like a servant before his master. Therefore he must stand. The source of a servant is that of fear of his master. Because what makes a person a servant? From the fact that he has a lord over him, a master over him. And even though he might love his master, but that's not what makes him the servant. What makes him the servant is yiras ha'odin, the fact that he has a master over him. And this is why the Mishnah in Masechet Avos states, Al tia ki avodim ha'mishamshin es harav lekabel pras. You should not be a servant as a servant who serves your master to receive reward, because that's not a servant. You must be a servant to serve your master, because he is the master. Servitude means to serve because he is the master, he is the Odom. And the source for this is Yireh, fear. We are servants to the Almighty because we fear the Almighty. If we have no fear for Him, then we are not servants. We are not His servants. And in the Beis HaMikdash, This was the central point for fear of the Almighty. And this is why the Torah tells us, "Es mikdoshai tirou," you shall fear my temple, my Beis HaMikdosh. And the Rambam brings, "Yira yaseira nitztavea halmokam HaMikdosh." We were commanded to have more fear in the place of the Beis HaMikdosh than any other place. Fear and respect. You're not allowed to go there if you're not pure. Not allowed to walk into the area with your shoes on, with the dust of your sandals, with your money belt, with your walking stick. And this is why we have this fear and respect for a Beis HaKnesses, for a shul. Because the Gemara tells us the Beis HaKnesses is a Mikdosh Miat, is a miniature Beis HaMikdosh. It is the place where we show our fear, we're obligated to show our fear to the Odin, to the Master. There must be this fear and this respect. And the source for this goes back even further. The source for this was Yitzchok Avinu, Yitzchok. Sages tell us that Yitzchok was the one who built the pillar to the world of serving the Almighty through fear. Abraham built the pillar of serving the Almighty through love. And that was with his chesed, his loving kindness. And Yitzchok, he built the pillar of the world to serve the Almighty with his fear. How did he do this? Because he himself offered himself as a sacrifice. And it states that the dust of Yitzchok is always before the Almighty. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted this as if he already did it. And it also states that on the day when Yitzchok offered himself up as a sacrifice, it was on that day that the Almighty decreed, "Keves echod baboker v'keves hasheni bein arabai," that every day there will be in the Beis HaMikdosh a morning sacrifice and an afternoon sacrifice. That the source for all of our sacrifices came from the Akedah Yitzchok, when Yitzchok offered to give himself to the Almighty. Now, what does this mean? Why did Yitzchok offer to give himself to the Almighty? Because Yitzchok saw in himself that he was merely a servant to Hashem. And a servant to Hashem means that the servant is willing to do everything that the master commands. But we are limited. Servants are limited. But not Yitzchok. The Gemara tells us that Yitzchok did more for his master than any other human being. Kirafto yes nafshoi. He even gave his life when the master demanded it. And from here he bequeathed to the children the power that the Jew has of Mesiras Nefesh, to give his life when the master demands it. And that's the greatest illustration of a servant serving his master. So through Yitzchok came the Beis HaMikdosh and the sacrifices. And when we sacrifice to Hashem, we are illustrating that we are his servants, and he is the Odin of Kol HaOlam. He is the Lord, the Master of the entire world. Now this person, Dafki here, right here, he comes along and he says, the Torah says, when you come to your land and you will sacrifice the Pesach, so now you have this fellow come in and say, "Moha Avoda Hazeis Lochem," what is this Avoda, what is this servitude to you? Why is he coming here? What's this bothering him for? Why doesn't he come to the other mitzvahs? So here's something very deep. When he says Lochem to you, Velei, and he excluded himself, we are referring here to a kafir. We are referring here to the atheist. And this is why he's the Rosho. The other mitzvahs didn't seem to bother him so much. But this is the one that bothers him. This is the source of his problem. And the reason for this is because the source of the atheist is Shaharei Eina Reitze Ba'avoda. He doesn't want to be a servant. An atheist in the Gemara is called free of responsibility. The Rosho, he doesn't want to be a servant. He doesn't want responsibility. He wants to be free of it. And therefore, when he sees that Israel is bringing their korban, their sacrifice, and this is the way that they're showing they are servants to Hashem, this is going against his grain. So he comes with a question. He says, I don't understand all of this. What is the reason of this? It's very strange, he says, you people. Why are you doing this? What does this have to do? What relevance does this have? What purpose does it have? What relevance does it have to the 20th century? And he says, I cannot accept these things because I have too many questions. And that the Torah tells us a very deep secret. He doesn't accept it not because he has too many questions. It's because he refuses to accept it, that's why he has the questions. It's not the questions that are bothering him. But it's his refusal to assume such a responsibility. It's his refusal to submit himself to be a servant to an Odin, to a power greater than him, is the reason for his questions. Not because he has questions, he cannot accept it. And therefore here, Dafki here, he comes and he says, Mo haveda azeis lochem, what is this avoda, this type of service, this type of servitude to you? And the Agoda explains, you notice he said to you and not to me. Ulefisha haitzias atzme min aklal, because he excluded himself, kofar bi'ikr, he has denied the source of our Torah. Because the source of our Torah is the Almighty. He doesn't want any part of it. So he has excluded himself. Now in the Torah itself, it tells him we simply say v'amatem. It doesn't say you should say to him. It says you should say, Zebach Pesach Hu Hashem. This is a sacrifice to Hashem, who went and took us out of Egypt, destroyed all of the homes of the Egyptians and saved our homes. Don't go into a dialogue with him. You merely say, this is our master and we are bringing him a sacrifice. The Agoda goes one step further and it says, Afato hake yeshinov. You must strike back at him. And you must say, this is what the Almighty has done for me. Asher also li. You have excluded yourself. Then this is what the Almighty has done for me. Not for you. Iloha Yoshom, if you would have been there. Loha Yonigul, you wouldn't have been redeemed. So you won't have any sacrifice to bring. And this is true because the Torah tells us that really there were five times as many people in Egypt, as many Jews in Egypt that went out. 4/5 died during the plague of darkness. And one of the reasons why the Almighty brought the plague of darkness is because he didn't want to give the Egyptians the satisfaction to see so many Jews die. And the reason why 4/5 died is because they didn't believe in the Almighty. So this that we answer him, Iloha Yosham, if you would have been there, you wouldn't be redeemed, is true. Now the Maral explains that we're not speaking about a tipish, we're not speaking about a fool, we're speaking about a wise person. And he is the exact counterpart to the Chochom. Except one is a Chochom Mitzitkosei, one is a wise person that wants to learn Torah and wants to learn about the Almighty. And one is a wise person who uses his wisdom against the Almighty. He uses his wisdom against the Torah. In other words, we're speaking here about a philosopher, a scholar, an academic, an intellectual. But instead of using these qualities to learn about the Torah and Hashem, he's using against it. And he's coming to scoff. Moha Aveda Hazos, what is this strange thing that you're doing that you people do? So he's coming to scoff. Val Techeach Letz. Shlema HaMelech said, do not rebuke the scoffer. Won't do you any good. So therefore we don't enter a dialogue with him and we don't rebuke him. Except since with his wisdom he is going forward and this poison he will influence others with. So don't enter a dialogue with him, but by no means must you retreat. But you must carry a big stick. The Haggadah tells us, Afato Haki Eshinov. You must, with your words, you must break his teeth. And you must tell him, you're right. This is an avoda, this is to us, not to you. You're right. You have no part in it. Because if you were in Egypt, you would have remained there. In order to put a stop to his apikursis, to his kfira, to his denial. And this is very prevalent in the world. Baruch Hashem in South Africa, not as much as other parts of the world. But it's very prevalent where you get wise people. I'm not speaking about the fool, but the wise. Except instead of using their wisdom to come close to Torah, they use their wisdom to reject the Torah. You know, a great movement that spread through the academic world many years ago was the theory of evolution. And the theory of evolution, based on a principle that there is no creator, there was no master plan to the world, but everything just developed and evolved through circumstances and on its own. This theory of evolution was used to undermine and to discredit the concept that there was a creator in the world. And this was accepted at a universal level. The fact is, in many schools in the world, it's been incorporated in textbooks without any challenge. And it was accepted in a large part of the scientific world. And I've spoken to many scientists, and they all told me that scientifically speaking, it almost doesn't have a leg to stand on. This is what the scientists say. And some told me that one of the reasons why it was accepted is because people were looking to free themselves from this concept that there's a master over the world. And the fact is, Darwin, one scientist told me, went so far as to say that he doesn't see how Darwin, as a scientist, could have even developed such a theory. But at that time, there was a lot of church control, and he feels it was really just a manifestation to free himself from this. It seems very similar to what we're talking about. Moha Veda Zeis Lachem, the wisdom came as a way to free oneself from the avodah. Not long ago, there was an article which appeared in a magazine which was written by scientists saying that it's wondrous why this has been accepted so much amongst the masses when in the scientific world it's almost completely rejected today. And one great scientist wrote that he said that for a world that we have to evolve on its own, if we would figure it out with computers and perchance, he said, chances are you have a much greater law of percentages of writing a Shakespearean classic by knocking over a bottle of ink than by the world being created through evolution. Now, this is from a scientist, not from a not from a theologian. All right, this is their discussion. I personally don't know who lacks more wisdom, the ones who state the case or the ones who have accepted it. But this is completely contrary to everything that the Torah tells us. But if we would look at this just from an angle of wisdom, we would see how far wisdom can be distorted because a nereitze ba'avoda, to free oneself from the responsibility of a master over the world. And let me give you just one short example. I just very recently saw an article which was printed in the Reader's Digest. This is of October last year. On color. So this article speaks about the makeup of the eye. The eye is a very important part of the human body, but still it's only one part of the human body. And it writes, every eye contains 120 million rods, each of which carries inside it 130 million molecules of a chemical pigment that changes electrically when light hits it. Every eye also holds 6 million receptors. Every single eye holds 6 million receptors called cones. They come in at least three varieties, each of which contains a pigment that differs in sensitivity to light. The brain has been called an enchanted loom. Somehow it is able to take the shifting electrical signals from 252 million rods and cones in your eyes moment by moment. I'll repeat that it's able to take the shifting electrical signals from 252 million rods and cones in your eyes and moment by moment weave those tiny snippets of information into a tapestry portrait of what is before you. So every time we see, this is the process that's going on. And this is just, and incidentally, scientists know very little. The fact is they currently seem to be refuting their whole scientific concept of what they thought color was before. So according to their minimal knowledge, this is what the eye contains. And we're dealing here in millions and millions and billions. Each eye of every human being, an animal also has an eye. And all of this is directed and communicated to the brain. And the brain sorts this all out in a matter of instants. Every time we see, there's a whole picture, a whole movie being constructed. So this is the wisdom of the Almighty. The Rosha, he doesn't reject the wisdom of the Almighty because he cannot logically understand it. He rejects it because Moha Aveda Azeis Lohem. What is this to you? What? You are a servant to him. I don't want to be a servant to him. All of our questions on Torah and mitzvahs and on life are all questions that come because we reject to be his servant. on he who accepts to be his servant, then we have no questions. The Chofetz Chaim, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, used to say, for he who does not believe in the Almighty, there are no answers. For he who believes in the Almighty, there are no questions. And this is what the Haggadah is telling us here. Then we go to the third son, Tom Moho Aimer. Now, till now we were speaking about wise children. Now we're speaking about one who is a Tom, who is simple. How do we know that this is the simple son? Because it states as follows. When you come to your land, I'll give you a mitzvah of Bechor of the firstborn. The firstborn animal of a kosher animal, you shall make a sacrifice. The firstborn animal of the firstborn of the donkey, you should redeem with a sheep. And then the donkey can live, and the sheep you take to the Beis Hamikdash, or the sheep is yours. The sheep, you can do what you want. If you do not redeem it, then you must break the neck of the donkey. Then comes along your son, what is this? Now firstly we see that he doesn't ask as a great wise person. He merely says, Mazois, what is this? What's this? Secondly, where is he asking? He's asking on a phenomena. He didn't ask other places, because other places didn't bother him. The fact that we eat matzah, or the fact that we sacrifice a sheep, this he didn't ask him. But now he sees such a strange mitzvah, which is indeed a strange mitzvah, that if you refuse to redeem the donkey, you must break its neck. So he comes along and says, Mazos. Now, there's a third category in wisdom, where people are only bothered when they see a phenomenon. If they'll go outside, and all of a sudden they will see a falling star or a falling planet, and they'll ask, what is that? What is this? And they're aroused. As far as the Torah is concerned, this is not such a great wisdom. Because perhaps it's a greater wisdom that there are millions and millions of galaxies in the sky every night that he never asked about. And all of a sudden he sees a falling star, he'll ask. He sees a great phenomenon, he asks. And as we mentioned, true wisdom has no limitation. True wisdom means the person wants to know everything. And especially when it comes to the wisdom of the Almighty, there's no limitation, there's no stopping. This person, he hasn't asked on anything. Except when he sees a great phenomenon. And even when he asks simply, Mazois, Eina Sheil Derech Chochma. He doesn't ask Derech Chochma. What should we answer him? So we have to explain to him that Parai wanted to kill us. He wouldn't let us go out. So the Almighty killed all of the firstborn in Egypt. And as a remembrance to this, I take the firstborn and I make a sacrifice. Now when we answer him, we also say, Bechezik yod hotzionu Hashem mimitzrayim. With a strong hand, the Almighty took us. We didn't say you, we took us. So we kind of excluded him. But at the same time, we don't reject him. And the Maral says a very deep word here. This person is very far from wisdom of Torah and mitzvahs. Because we see he doesn't ask on any mitzvahs. Only when it's a phenomenon. Being far from the wisdom of the Torah and the mitzvahs does not mean that you only lack in intellect, but means that you are far away from Torah and mitzvahs. Because someone who is close to Torah and mitzvahs, he wants to know everything about Torah and mitzvahs. Many times we see people, they don't have they don't have a too much of an interest. This is not an intellectual fault, but this shows a distance from Torah. But at the same time, he did ask. There's still some life in him, even though it took a miracle to wake it up in him, even though it took a phenomena. But he did ask. So we cannot reject him. And we still say, Hoytzienu Hashem Mitzrayim, Hashem took us out. We don't say Hashem took you out, we say Hashem took us out. And you also have the opportunity to be part of us. Now, on the Pesach night, we're all familiar with the Man Ishtanu Alaylo Azeh. Why is this night different? And there are many things that we do on Pesach night that the Gemara says, why do we do it? We take off the matzahs, we put on the matzahs. We take off the wine, and we put on the wine, we pour the wine. Many different things. And the Gemara asks, why? Kidei shishalu atinaikis, in order that the children should ask. We're referring to this fellow. For the wise son, we don't have to do that, because he'll ask on everything. But for the son, that's a tam, for the personality, for the adult, that's a tam, we have to do something to arouse his wisdom. Therefore, we do all kind of strange things merely kidei shishalu, in order that he'll ask. And if he'll ask, then we'll be able to tell him. And that's why we ask Man Ishtanu, why is this night different? They are asking from the differences. This is the simple son. So the simple son still has a link. And then we come to the fourth son. Now the fourth son in the Torah doesn't say that he asks at all. The Torah tells us, 7 days you shall eat matzahs, and you shall not have any chometz in your possession. And you shall tell your son on this day, Bavur ze osa Hashem li. This is what Hashem has done for me when he took me out of Egypt. There's no question posed here. Merely we say you shall tell your son. Now this is referring to a fourth group. And, unfortunately, this could be a very large group. This is not the Rosho that uses his wisdom against the Torah. But this is merely the disinterested, apathetic Jew. He doesn't ask. Not only he's not interested in learning about everything, but even when you perform a miracle right in front of him, he doesn't ask. Even when he sees a phenomenon, no, he doesn't ask anything. So on that the Torah says, "V'igarato levincho." Here we're eating matzah. All year we don't eat matzah. Today we eat matzah. No, he doesn't ask. Here all of a sudden we've been going through cleaning out the homes, getting out all the chometz. Efregnish. Nothing. So what should we do with him? So to reject him completely we can't, because he's not a Rosho. He's not against the Torah. It's not that he doesn't want to be a servant to Hashem. So we can't reject him. On the other hand, he's very far. So the Torah tells us, V'igadato, you shall talk to him. Don't wait till he talks to you, but you shall talk to him. And on that the Haggadah explains, She'eni yodei lishol, this is the fellow that doesn't know how to ask, at psachlei, you must open him up. Don't wait for him to start, you must initiate it. And you tell him, Bavur ze os Hashem li, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this for me. What does that mean? The fact that you do not even ask, this again is not an intellectual fault. This shows that you have almost no link to Torah, no link to the Almighty. You have been lost in indifference and in apathy. You have become assimilated. You're holding on the border. The Almighty did these miracles for me. It's a question if you can say that he did them for you. But we must try to save this Jew, because he's not a Rosho. He's not against the Torah. He's just lost. So we must try to save him. Therefore, atzach loy, you open up to him, you initiate, and you tell him, v'igareto levincho. Now this is the most important mitzvah in regards to this son, in reference to this night. Because we have a mitzvah which comes once a year. We are obligated to speak about the going out of Egypt. Actually, this mitzvah is a mitzvah every day of the year. Every day we mention the going out of Egypt. But the Gemara tells us, every day we only make mention of it. And this is why in the Krishna we say, out of Egypt. But there's one night when we must elaborate, and that's Pesach night. And the more you elaborate, the greater the mitzvah. Even if you elaborate the entire night, like the Haggadah tells us. And that's a mitzvah on Lil Tesvov on Pesach night. Where do we learn that mitzvah from? This is the source. You shall tell your children, you shall tell your sons. And that's why the Haggadah is called Haggadah, from the word to tell. And that's why that portion of the Seder is called Magid, to tell. And we tell it over Matzah, speaking about Matzah. The Gemara says, Lechem Oni. Matzah is called Lechem Oni, She'oni Nolov Dvorim Harbe, because we say many things over the Matzah. Why is it particular to this son? Because the wise son, he asks all the time. He's always learning and he's always asking. So it's a mitzvah. The Agoda says, Afilu Talmide Chachomim, Shnei Talmide Chachomim, even wise people must ask and answer. But they're always asking and they're always learning. The other son, the son that asks on a phenomena, he'll ask many times. When he'll see a phenomena, he'll ask. But this son, so we can answer all of these people when they ask. But when is the time for this son? This son never asks. There's nothing that we can do to make him ask. So therefore the Torah said, this is the son that you have to take care of on Pesach. It's a mitzvah to tell your sons, to teach your sons. And B'davka, we're referring then to this son, in addition to the others. So we have four categories of wisdom. We have the wise. And wisdom means someone who constantly seeks wisdom without any limitation, without any obstruction. He is not intimidated. He is not deviated from his course. He does not let emotion distort the truth. Havi az ken omer. He is courageous and brazen like the leopard. And he wants to know all of the Torah. And this shows a great closeness to the Torah. And that's why when one learns, he must not merely ask on something that's difficult, but on everything he must ask. And we see this was the way of the great sages. The whole Talmud Bavli, the whole Babylonian Talmud, is just a question of kashas v'terutzim, where they constantly asked and answered. And then you have another wise son, but he's an evil son. And he uses his wisdom to reject the Torah. He uses his wisdom to reject the Almighty. And don't think that he rejects the Torah and the Almighty because of his questions. It's the opposite. Because he doesn't want to submit to the Almighty, therefore he creates false questions for himself. So when he says, I can't understand, don't enter into a dialogue, because you can give him 100 answers, he still won't understand. You merely say, you can't understand, you would have been left in Egypt. Because you don't want to be a servant to Hashem. And then, there is the one who does not have much wisdom. He's simple. He asks only when there's a great phenomena. Now this already shows a distance from the Torah and the Almighty. He can see a great world, doesn't ask. On him, you must answer and you must teach. And you must try to bring him closer. And then there's the one who is lost completely and asks on nothing. On that, the Torah tells us, V'igareto, you must teach him and you must tell him and you must go and bring him close and tell him what the going out of Egypt is all about. And this is the mitzvah of the igarta l'mincha. You shall tell your son, not answer your son, you shall tell your son. And of the haggadah. Now one final question on all of this. Why does this have to do in particular to Pesach? We see that all of this circles around the going out of Egypt. Actually, I mean, these questions can be asked on Shavuos, these questions can be asked on Sukkot, and they can be asked on Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah and Purim and Hanukkah and on Shabbos. So why do we find them in the Torah on Pesach? And on here is a very, very deep principle. We're talking about mitzvahs. Every one of these questions are directed to mitzvahs. What are these mitzvahs? What is the source of a mitzvah? A mitzvah means a command. The source of a command is that there is a commander. The source of our mitzvah is that there's a metzava, a king commanding us. The most primary question that can face a Jew when it comes to fulfilling any mitzvah is, why are we given these mitzvahs? Who has commanded us? Why are we commanded in mitzvahs? If there is a servant, then there must be a king. But why is it that we as Jews have been given 613 mitzvahs? By what authority are we obligated in mitzvahs? So if you'll say, because the Almighty is the Melech Malchei HaMelochim, he's the King of all kings, and he's created the world. He created the world, very true. And he created all of the nations. And all of the nations he gave 7 mitzvahs to. So that is not a premise why we should be obligated in 613 mitzvahs. So the most primary question that a Jew has in regards to mitzvahs, the first fundamental that a Jew must know, is why am I given mitzvahs? Because the Almighty created the world and he created me. But he created billions of people and he did not give them mitzvahs. Maybe you'll say, because we accepted it on Sinai. First of all, our fathers accepted it. What does that have to do with me? Secondly, from the fact that we accepted it, that's not sufficient. Acceptance doesn't make a mitzvah. A mitzvah is a command. Not something we're doing because we choose to do, but we are commanded in doing it. So where is the source that we should be commanded in 613 mitzvahs? And in this the Torah tells us, in the first of the Ten Commandments, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God. Now what does it mean, I am the Lord your God? The Almighty is the Lord over all of the people. Here he was speaking to Israel. So the rabbis teach us, I am the Lord your God differently than I am the God of other peoples. Because I am the God of other people in a fashion which I have commanded them in 7 mitzvahs. But I am your God in a fashion that I have given you 613 mitzvahs. And on what premise, on what basis? Asher hoitzeisicho eschem me'eretz Mitzrayim. On the basis I have taken you out of Egypt. And on that the Mechilta states, Kedai hi ha'aitso shetiyu mishubodim li. Because I have freed you, this is why you are my servants. If I never freed you, you could have a claim against me. Why do Jews have 613 mitzvahs? They have lulav and they have esrog and they have sukkah and they have Shatnas, and they have Treifus, and they have Shabbos. Why? I'm the Lord over the entire world, and I never gave such mitzvahs to the people? Because I took you out of Egypt. And when I took you out of Egypt, you were slaves. And not only you were slaves, but hare bonim uvenei bonim, hoyim mishubodim. Your children and your children's children till the end of the generations would have remained there. Sages tell us that if the Almighty would not have taken us out of Egypt, no one would have ever taken us out. We would have remained there forever. And when I freed you and made you free, Amzu Koniso, I acquired you as my nation. Amzu Goalto, Amzu Koniso, I redeemed this nation and I acquired this nation. Lefichoch, therefore, everyone is obligated. We say in the Haggadah, Hare Onu Ubonim Uvenevodim. Every Jew is obligated to look at himself as if he has gone out of Egypt. So the source, before there can be a mitzvah, there must be a matzava. Before there can be a soldier that is obligated to accept a command, there must be a general that he is obligated to. And what makes the Almighty, the King, the General? Because I took you out of Egypt. So, Anechi Hashem Elokecha, I am your Lord, different than all other nations. I'm your Lord in a different dimension, a different spectrum altogether. Because I have taken you out of Egypt. Therefore, I have taken you from Egypt to be my nation. Avodaihem v'lei avodim la'avodim. They are my servants and not servants to other servants. When I uplifted you from Egypt, you became mine. If you became mine, then you're obligated to listen to me. Tikablu malchusai, you must accept my malchus. So the source for all mitzvahs of the Torah is the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the going out of Egypt. And therefore the Torah says we must make mention every day. Therefore, this is the place where these questions must be asked. Because the answer is the Yetzias Mitzrayim. From here a person learns something very, very great. How close he can attach himself to the Exodus, to the freedom that he gained when he went out of Egypt, that's how close he will be to mitzvahs. Because the mitzvahs that we have doesn't merely mean doing something. You know, the Gemara tells us that mitzvahs anoshim milumodo. There is always the great danger that when a person does a mitzvah, habit is a wonderful thing. Through routine and habit, he can educate himself to do things. But there's a great danger. Because when a person does a mitzvah only through habit, the Gemara says, you can teach animals to do things through habit also. You take a cattle or oxen, and you put a yoke on them, and you can teach them how to start and how to stop. And that's a danger by a person also. A mitzvah to a Jew means that he has been given a command by the King of all kings that he is fulfilling. And through this, fulfilling the will of the King of all kings. And this is why a mitzvah gives growth to a person and gives greatness to the person. Imagine someone being the private servant of the mightiest king in the world. So how much more so than the Melech Malchei Amalochim, the king of all kings, the one who has created what all of the minds in the world couldn't comprehend, even what's in one eye of a human being. And the source and the closeness to this mitzvah is how much the individual feels that he is the servant to this great king. And the source for being a servant to this great king comes from how much of a part of the Yetzias Mitzrayim of the Exodus he is. If a person actually feels that he was freed from Egypt and he was taken out by a great king to be his servant, then he will have the greatness and the fulfillment in mitzvahs in the direction that they were given. If a person is very distant from the Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's something which is not part of him, then he's very far from mitzvahs in their true form. And therefore, here the Torah tells us the different dimensions of wisdom ask, what are these mitzvahs? And we give the answer, where is the source? And therefore, the Torah told us that every day a Jew must never forget that he was a slave to Paroi and he went out of Egypt. He was taken out by the Almighty. And especially on this night, this is the time to educate all of our children, all of the people, so it shall never be forgotten. This is the principle of Amzu Goalto, this nation I have redeemed. Amzu Koniso, this nation I have acquired. Avodai Heim, they shall be servants to me forever, and never servants to any other people. We should be zeicher to the Ay. Chag Sameach, of the Chag Cheruseinu, of the Yontif of Cherus, where we were freed from all other powers in the world to be uplifted, to be servants to the Almighty, and to gain insight into the source which gives us all of the mitzvahs of the Torah.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.